Okay, let's start with verse 33 up to 36. Let's all together, 1, 2, 3. No one lights a lamp and put it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, he put it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are bad, your body also is full of darkness. See to it, then, that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted, as when the light of a lamp shines on you. Are you blind? You can't see it? Are you blind? You don't want people to say to you, right? Because it's impolite. What do you mean, I'm blind? I have my eyes. But as a matter of fact, there are people who have eyes, but actually, they cannot see. Now, night and darkness is the reality of this world. When we have daylight here, what time is it now? It's almost 10 a.m. But on the other side of the world, it's on the darker side, in a dark side. I'm came from Hong Kong, so my clock always show Hong Kong time and USA time. I don't know why. 25 years, I still kind of living sometimes remember Hong Kong. So Hong Kong is almost 1 a.m. So suppose all the people at this time is sleeping now. Do you know that darkness does not actually exist? Do you know that? When is darkness exist? When there is no light. Correct, right? The reality of light and darkness can also be brought into kind of spiritual things. Sometimes we use it as a metaphor, such as, I can't understand until he shed me some light. That means some people give you some idea or explain to you so that he shed the light over you so that you understand. I have been living in the absence of hope until I see light at the end of the tunnel. So what do you mean? The light equal to the hope. So it's kind of like a metaphor. The function of light is to reveal or to show to those who walk in the darkness. As Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13, he said, everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. Light make everything visible. Of course, in the contrary, the darkness is to hide. So when people hide, some people use the word say they are in the darkness. The light in this passage is the works. It's indicated it is the works that Jesus had done in his Son of God. He is the coming Messiah. The light is to show that Jesus is the one. Unfortunately, at that time, the Pharisees and the people, they did not receive Jesus. And even said that he used the power of visible to cast out demon out of a mute. That was recorded in verse 14 to 16 in the same chapter. They don't believe in Jesus. The power is came from Satan. But Jesus is a true light. But these people, just like what John said in his gospel, prologue. Of course, the prologue is very important in the gospel according to John. And he said, the light shine in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Verse 15, John chapter 1. These people wanted to see more miracle. They wanted to see more wonders from Jesus. So Luke here, he's saying, others test him by asking for a sign from heaven. Meaning people want more. Jesus, I want more. I want to be entertained. Can you show more miracle? I want more. Then I believe in you. Do you want to see more miracle in your life? Yes, I do. How about you? Come on, Jesus, show me more. And then you escalate. Oh, this is not that I see before. I want to see some more. Escalate. More and more. However, Jesus clearly indicated that this endless pursuit of miracles is guilty of making an excuse for refusing what he has done. They've seen it, but they don't believe in it, and they see and they want to see more. These people do see the miracle and wonder, and in fact, they are what this passage said, lamp on its stand, so that those who come in may see the light. You know, Jesus had performed that miracle. Jesus had worked among them. The light has been illuminated on all signs, and behind Jesus' miracle was the call of repentance. Behind the miracle that Jesus made is call for the people to repent. But these people seem to be deaf and blind. Then Jesus rebuked them, and he said, this is a wicked generation, verse 29. It is a wicked generation who will still live in the darkness. The problem is not because of low light. Light had been always there. The real problem was these people, they have spiritual eyesight problem. In fact, Jesus' miracle and wonders were pointing to a more important subject. The miracle and wonder is to point to his teaching and not the miracle itself. Jesus firmly believed that there is no miracle greater than of Jonah's. And you must guess, oh, the miracle of Jonah is that when he was swallowed by a big fish, and how long he was inside? You know? But I think we all guess it wrong. Jesus was not pointing people to the miracle of Jonah. It's about the big fish swallow Jonah for 3 days. Jesus is pointing, was referred to what Jonah did in the city of Nineveh. Why? This prophet, he don't want to listen. It's like 40 more days, Nineveh will be overturned. Now, in Hebrew, the original language, this sentence have only 5 words. And you know what happened? The Bible tells us. The whole city of Nineveh repent, including the animal. Amazing. This is the miracle that Jesus was pointing to. Now, did King Solomon perform any miracles? Oh. He's a wise man. He's the wise king. It is not about Solomon. It is about the story of the Queen of Sheba. You know, it's recorded in the 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1 to 10. She traveled a very long distance up north just to listen to King Solomon. What? His wisdom. Meaning the miracle is that a queen travels so far, just want to listen to the wisdom, the saying of King Solomon. It is to Jesus saying that this is a miracle. It's still about the words. The saying of repentance from the mouth of prophet Jonah and the saying and the wisdom from the mouth of King Solomon is all about the words. And now in the presence of these people, and Jesus said, there is a man who is greater than prophet Jonah and King Solomon. He's talking about what? Himself. Jesus is talking about his teaching. And they should eager to receive. But in reality, we know that these people, they listen, they see, but they don't want to take it in. So Jesus said that the queen of the south and the man of Nineveh will rise at the judgment with the generation and condemn them. You know, this day, everybody understands that God has turned on the light. The light has been shined in the darkness. And this light is the Word. And the Word has become flesh, dwell among us to reveal who God is. And before Jesus ascended to heaven, he sent out the Holy Spirit to reveal again the truth in order the Word of God can come into the life of man. However, the light that emitted needs to be received by the eyes, right? You got to kind of receive. If you are blind, meaning that the light cannot come in. Now, the eyes are called the window of the soul. And of course, here Jesus called it the lamp of the body, meaning the eyes is the gatekeeper of the body. Through your eyes, things go into your mind and in turn shape you who you are. This is very important. What comes through your eyes, stay there and shape your character, shape your personality. When the eye let the light come in, it then reflect the light and make the whole body bright. That's what Jesus talked about. Otherwise, if the eye do not let the light come in, the whole body will be obscured by the darkness. And the man will become what? Dim. He lives in the darkness. If a man lives in the darkness, it's meaning he has a life without the guidance by the truth of God. And of course, Jesus said, finally, the consequence is what? It's condemnation. It's condemnation. So watch out, our brother and sister in Christ. Watch out. Particularly this day, when you open the phone, your phone, and you open yourself to the world, and there's so many things come through your eyes, and you watch out. What we allow to go in, reflecting where our heart is. If we have no light, if we have no truth in our lives, if we don't have the Word of God in our life, we will be controlled by the darkness. So we have to be careful of what is going through our eyes into our hearts to carry the Word of God is to receive the light. And then the light will come out of a man's life. When you say, this congregation, this community is to shine the light onto the community of Castle Valley. What does it mean? You got to have light inside before you can go out and shine the light, right? If you have no love, you are not being loved. You don't feel the love. How can you say I love you when you don't have the love within? When you say I want to spread the gospel, while you don't really understand what the gospel means, what can you tell the people about the gospel of Jesus? When there's no light in the community, what is talking about is shine the light before the people. There's no light. Now, in the previous passage, verse 24 to 26, Jesus mentioned an unclean spirit was cast out from a man, but he did not put something in to replace it. When the demon was clean, Jesus, cast out the demon. So the body of that man become clean. That means the body is clean, but it's still vacant. There's nothing in there. Clean, like, you know, empty. What that the evil spirit has no place. Later on, when the evil spirit had no place to go, and it decided to say, hey, I have no place to go. Let me visit, let me go back to this man and see what happened. And he find out that it's clean, good, all clean up, but nothing there. Thank you. I can ask my other seven evil spirit to go in with me. And Jesus said the situation of this man get even worse. Originally, he's only one evil spirit, but now he got what? Eight. The spiritual meaning of this passage is that if the grace of God temporarily releases someone from the evil spirit, but then this man's response is rejection. In this case, crisis will come. The house is clean, but the door is wide open. Allow those forces to come back and stay, which bring the final outcome even worse than before. As I just said, when you turn on your phone, when you turn on your computer, you are actually explode yourself. The door is open, and you better watch out. Well, we say, yeah, we believe Jesus, but you ignore to carry the word of God in your life, and you refuse to respond to his grace, then you will be easily fall into the hands of the evil spirit or the Satan. You call yourself the children of the light, but in reality, you are still live in the darkness, because there is no light. Today, many Christians have heard a lot of sermons like you did. You know, some of the younger generation here, you've been here for church for past 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, right? And you listen to a sermon every Sunday, and maybe you can capture 10% is perfect. But 10% is a lot also. And you've been hearing, you know, attending Sunday school, your teachers talk about a lot of the Bible, and you learn about Christian faith and Christian doctrines. But why so many believers today still don't really understand what is the meaning of Christian faith? And I always comment on myself too. Sometimes, you know, it's my duty as a pastor to share the gospel, and also it's important to share the biblical truth. But this day, I still see a lot of churchgoer. Their Christian faith is scattered. I don't know what exactly to say. 支离破碎. Bit and pieces. They know something this, there, and then there's something there, but there's no way they can connect all this together. And so that when you talk to them about what really is the truth is about and who God really is, they just can't understand, because they just know something here, something there, but it's not connected, because they don't really put their mind, their heart onto it and really learn it. I mean, when I was a student, all my, like, 5 years of secondary education, I was kind of wondering one thing, is that why my teachers, when they taught me all this knowledge, and they always emphasize one thing, is that, remember, you have to study hard to get high score in the Form 5. We said Form 5 meaning, I know, the high school graduation, like examination, in order to get into a good university. In the old days, in Hong Kong, there's only like 3 universities. So it's minority can go into, like me, I'm just majority of those who are actually dumb and like lazy, because I don't know why. My teacher don't tell me why I had to be studying all this, like Chinese history and economy and all this biology and then physics. I have no idea. Because I only know this and this and this, and I don't know why. Because I don't pay attention to it. Of course, I was being kind of pushed in a way that emphasis is about examination. And I hate this, I tell you. Until when I studied Form 6, then a geography teacher illuminated me. Because he opened my eye to see that knowledge is not about examination. It's about you know the truth, that not the capital T, but the small letter T. And I accelerate, but it's too late. Because you know what? I've been so lazy for the past 5 years. But never too late. I go back to the seminary at the age of 46. No, 44, 46, something like this. I forgot. My eye was kind of blurry when I kind of read so many pages of books. And I got bored sometimes. But that's my job. You know, this full-time student. After 20-something years of work in a corporation and I study and I get my eyes open. I carry the word of God. And my life changed along the way until this moment as your pastor. I'm not perfect. But I want to learn more. I want to see God. So, do you have a clear understanding about what is your faith is? Do you think that sometimes we have problems of knowing just because we don't have a hunger for God's words? Or sometimes we listen, we want to hear, but the thing is we have a problem, we have a spiritual eyesight. And one thing is even worse is that our house is clean, but we let our door open. Even the word of God come in, but we don't let the light stay there. You may be young, but do you think that you have already suffering from spiritual cataracts? Do you know what cataract is? Cataract is a medical condition in which the lens of the eye become progressively opaque, meaning unclear, resulting in blurred vision. I think this generation will be getting cataract soon, and I think I will get it soon. But for you, I'm still young and I'm healthy, but listen, you may have spiritual cataracts. There was a rich man came to the church to pray. Another prayer meeting, he went to see the pastor and asked him, you know, and he's a rich man, he got a lot of money, but he has a sad face. And when he come to the pastor, he said, you know, pastor, I have money, but I am not happy. And I don't even know what to do with this money. Can money buy happiness? Then the pastor let him stand in front of the window and have him look outside. And he asked this guy and said, what do you see? And the rich man said, this is a busy street. I can see a lot of people come and go. Then the pastor put a large mirror in front of this guy and asked him the same question. What can you see? And he said, I see my dull face. And the pastor said to him, yeah, the window and mirrors are made of glass, except that the mirror is plated with a layer of mercury. But the pure glass is not. It doesn't have the mercury. There's nothing to hinder your sight to see other people and this beautiful world. But while the mercury coated glasses can only let you see yourself like a mirror, this coated mercury is your wealth. It's the money that blocks your eyes of your mind. As long as you are holding on to your wealth, your money, you are still living in a closed world. It's only you. you still feel lonely because you don't see other people. You don't see the world that God had made. Because that mirror only reflects your own self. So you are so unhappy. Today, Christians said that they believe in Jesus and they know the truth. However, their faith, the truth, is nothing more than on a personal level. Christian compartmentalized. Do you know what I mean by compartmentalized? Compartment like this, like this, like this. Compartmentalize their life. So they put their faith separate from their daily life. Many of them chasing after self-satisfaction and ignore the true needs of their soul. Yet the life is full of activities, but their minds are empty, just like the house that what Jesus had just mentioned, waiting something to come in and fill it up. We compartmentalize our lives. Sunday is a Sunday church activity. But God can only be on that Sunday few hours. And the rest of the time, we just kick God out. I don't need you to be there. I need you on Sunday only. My class, my private time, my time with the phone, your best friend, only on Sunday. And these people, I would say, they tend to live a shallow life, and at the same time, they are easily be exposed to the fall. In addition, Jesus warned us, see to it then, that the light within you is not darkness. Examine yourself. Sometimes you say, I have the light. But maybe the light is not really the light. It's actually the darkness. Verse 35. Be careful. You may think that you have the light, but actually it is the darkness. Some people think that they have heard, but only in filter. Something good, I like to listen. Something's bad, go this way. So I call it like selective deafness. Selective deafness. 选择性的聋啊，耳聋啊。 Some people think that they have seen clearly, but actually they have spiritual cataract or even spiritual blindness because they don't hold on to the word of God. There are people who claim that they have learned and know a lot, but they are still living in the darkness and not in the light. This is what sometimes we call self-righteous people. They think that they know everything, but they are the one who likely to fall into a dangerous situation because Satan likes to confuse and deceive you. Brother and sister, we do have to do a lot of self-examination. Coming to the Lord's table today, Paul asks us to have self-examination before we come to the table, to take the bread and the cup. Because we are sinners. We tend to sin. But by the grace of God, we come to this community. Being part of the body of Christ is the greatest grace that we can have. We need to examine ourselves along this path of salvation in order not to become a fool, the son of darkness, and what the Bible has said. So in other words, brother and sister, remember, you can forget all what I said, but remember, when you go off to this store today, the first thing remember is that I need my eyes examination. Can you say it again? 1, 2, 3. I need my eye examination. Have you recently had an eye examination yet? Who had the eye exam recently? Nobody. So let's go out and say, I need my eye exam. But I'm not talking about really eye exam. I'm talking about your spiritual eyesight. I need my eye exam today. What will happen when we come to Jesus? What happened? When we repent, right? That moment we call the darkness disappear. And then we have light. So that you and I can become the children of the light, right? This is to say, light is the character of this community. When we reconcile with God through the salvation grace of Jesus Christ, we are migrating into a different kingdom called the kingdom of Christ. We are no longer spiritually blind because through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we are gradually to understand the Word of God so that we live and we can carry the true light in our life. If we don't have that, make sure you go to have an eye exam. Because when the day comes, God will determine each person ending according to his or her choice. One day will come. The role of this church is to proclaim to the world, our community, our neighbors, that the good news and to make clear to them what the matter of life and death. And he will ask us what we have done with his light. And he will ask you, Terry, Jonathan, Nancy, and Donald, what have you done with my light? What can you say? Oh, I keep it. I keep it inside. Are you sure that this is the light or it is still the darkness? Oh, I never seen it before. But that's too late, man. Too late. God will determine each person's end according to our choice. When we see God face to face, he asks this question. And in this present generation of relativity, meaning this generation, present generation, they don't believe in absolute truth. The way to share this light is to put emphasis on the preaching, on the teaching, on the proclaiming of the word. William Shakespeare once said, "The world is a stage. We are actors standing on the stage." Now, if we look at this thing in a different angle, it means that our choice, our action will be sown before the world like a big broadcast to show to all the people who we really are. Jesus declared that his teaching is the light, and we have the responsibility to become what Jesus claimed, that we are. We are the children of the light. The truth has changed our life, and this life is to continue to be the witness of the truth. And at the same time, we have ourselves to have to become the light of this world. And remember, we are the light of this world. And finally, I would like to end this sermon with what Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 35. And he said, "You are going to have the light just as a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man walks in the dark, does not know where he's going." The light will not stay long, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus will come again to this earth and bring the earth to the final consummation. Therefore, for those who have not yet accepted by the choice that he or she make in this life, in this brief 70, 80, 90 years. As for those who have been blessed with his grace, we have the salvation. Remember to take good care of your spiritual eyesight. Always go to have eye exam. Keep the light on and do not open the door so that there won't be darkness. Please, please, do not sleep under the light. You say, "I have the light of Jesus shine upon me, but I'm sleeping." Is that happened? Yeah, sometimes people say, "I only sleep in the dark." But some Christians can sleep under the bright sunshine because they are so spiritually tired. Don't sleep in the light. Therefore, since we know this truth, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So Paul said, let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armors of light. Will you do that? Oh, you may not hear him, you may not prepare a song response, but I would like the team to come up to sing a song. Just prepare our heart to take the communion. Can you? And Donald, are you ready? Let's do it.